from the National Catholic Register. This is Register Radio, bringing light and clarity to the news and topics that affect your life.
This week on Register Radio, Jeanette DeMello focuses on the Year of Consecrated Life. She talks with Bishop Michael Burbidge, who leads the U.S. Bishops Committee for Consecrated Life, about his hopes for the year. Then Jeanette talks with Register reporter Roxanne King about what dioceses around the country are doing to celebrate men and women religious. Welcome again to Register Radio. It's a co-production of EWTN and the National Catholic Register. I'm Tom Price, along with Jeanette DeMello, editor-in-chief of the Register. Thanks for joining us. Our first guest, Bishop Michael Burbidge of the Diocese of Raleigh, North Carolina, chairs the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops Committee on Clergy, Consecrated Life, and Vocations. Today, he'll talk about the beauty of the consecrated life, and he explains how the Bishops' Conference is trying to get that conversation about consecrated life down to the parish and family levels.
I'm here with Bishop Burbidge, Michael Burbidge, at the Bishops' Meeting. We're here in Baltimore, and if our listeners hear some people muffling around us, they're going to lunch. These are the bishops taking their lunch on the second day of the Bishops' Conference, and thank you very much for taking the time to talk with us today about the Year of Consecrated Life.
Thank you, Jeanette.
Very good. Well, let's begin by talking about what are the intentions for this Year of Consecrated Life.
What a beautiful thing we do in our church. We find moments to highlight specific gifts that are ours. We know that all vocations from God are gifts to the church meant to build up. But it's very good for us to stop and pause, as we did for the Year for Priests, for example. Let's focus on this beautiful vocation, try to understand it better, to recognize the gifts that it brings, the blessings it brings. So this year, beginning this first Sunday in Advent, we begin the year of consecrated life. What is that vocation? How is it lived out? What are the various forms? Who are the men and women who have lived this beautiful life throughout the years and continue to do so today?
Very good. And so it begins November 30th, right?
Right.
And it continues to February 2nd, 2016.
Yes.
So it's a nice long year.
It is. It's a year plus maybe.
Yeah, that's very nice. And what do the bishops have planned for it?
What we're trying to do is provide, in consultation with the men and women religious organizations and entities, some ideas, some resources. But what will be key is for the local dioceses and communities to make it real and personal for their own diocese. But we have highlighted three activities we would like to see. One activity is the opportunity, a day of praying with our religious men and women, a day of being into their homes, into their communities and convents and monasteries, open houses, and maybe a day of service with our women religious and men religious. So three particular ideas that we would like to see implemented in our local churches. We want our faithful to do it as families, because we know that vocations are built and strengthened in families' life, in family life. So we're trying to connect it also to the focus on families.
That's a very good connection. You know, I've often wondered what role parents have in fostering vocations and what they can do to help foster them even more.
Right, and I think that the Year for Consecrated Life will be a great opportunity just to have the discussion. Right, every parent, they want their children to be happy. And we know that genuine happiness and true joy is only found in doing God's will. What has God created me for? What is purpose? What is God's divine call? What is the Lord asking me to do for my life? Where do you think the Lord's leading you? And he may be leading you to give your whole life in service to the church and to say to their children. And if it is, we're here to encourage you.
Yes, because I think that's one of the greatest misunderstandings that parents have. Sometimes they feel like they're losing their kids to the religious life, and so therefore they might not encourage it. But I know studies have shown that when the parents are encouraging, that people respond. And so I think it's a very important year for that matter.
Well, that's very true. I remember my parents, very early when I was a seminarian, they were taken back by a priest coming up to them and saying, "Thank you for giving your son to the church." that, in a sense, just thrilled them, that they never thought of it that way. My parents, who gave me life, educated me in the faith, and who loved and nurtured me, now gave me to the church in complete service. And for them to be recognized and affirmed in that, it was a great, great blessing for them.
One very important part of this year, I think, for parents is taking their kids to visit a monastery or to visit a religious community. And they often do have these days of visitation and right. things like that. Is that something that you're encouraging?
Absolutely, yeah. You know, we would call them open houses with religious. You know, parents always tell me the stories of what it's like to bring their children to the college campuses as they're trying to discern what school they're going to. And that visit, you know, sometimes makes the difference, where it's really clear that, you know, this is the campus I want to be on, because you read the brochures, you read the pamphlets, but it's that experience. Well, it could be the same thing with consecrated life and vocations. Right. You know, you go into a monastery, you go into a convent or a seminary or a religious house or a rectory to a better understanding what God may be calling them to. And if not just call for that life, to have a better understanding of that life. But there's nothing like the experience, right?
Right. I definitely remember when I was a young child, we had nuns at our school. They were Teresian nuns. I was from Louisiana, and that's where they were. And my family was very close to them, so we would sometimes go to their convent and have a picnic or whatever. And then later in college, I met women, young women who were considering the religious life, and it really made me think. It made me consider it. And when you come into contact with people interested in that life or living that life, it really it can be a wonderful encouragement. And so I really do hope that's what this year intends to be and ends up being for many people.
Well, yes, and I think that's very, very true what you said, and thanks for sharing that. But you know what also it does? It affirms those living that life. You took the time to come see us and to learn about us, to those men and women religious living out this beautiful vocation.
This is Jeanette DeMello, and I am here speaking with Bishop Michael Burbidge of the Diocese of Raleigh, North Carolina. And we're talking about the Year of Consecrated Life. The bishop heads a committee that is leading us in the celebration of the consecrated life. Now, can you tell us what are some of the most beautiful aspects of this life?
Sure. I think the consecrated life is a yes to the Lord's call to consecrate, to give one's life totally in service to the Lord and His church. The initiative comes from God. The response is given through grace. And the joy comes in finding God's holy will. So many of those living in religious life are also united by a specific charism, a gift. The reason this community was initiated from its beginning, what was its focus, what was its purpose? And so that charism unites it. You live it out together in the support of one another in a community, which is very, very, very important. And you embrace the beautiful vows of poverty, complete dependency on the Lord, chastity, that we are temples of the Spirit and we give ourselves over physically and spiritually to the Lord's call and obedience. You know, Lord, here I am. Send me. And that's where we find our freedom.
And what kind of work are the consecrated men and women doing?
I lived with 80 women one time. I say that I was a chaplain in a mother house for the Sisters of Mercy for 7 years. It was a beautiful, beautiful assignment. And I would look out into that congregation, and there'd be 80 women religious. And not only the years of service I saw represented, thousands and thousands of years, but the ministries. Mm-hmm. So right from that given community of women in the consecrated life, I would look out and saw women who served the church as educators, as nurses, as counselors, as administrators. Absolutely beautiful to see the wide variety of ministries.
Now, we have a challenge in society today that we don't have as many religious as we once had. I think to society's detriment. What can we do about this, and why has that happened?
Well, you know, one of the things that we're doing is celebrating this year of consecrated life. We have to get back to teaching about these beautiful vocations of life of the church, to encourage, to invite. I said this with the Year of Consecrated Life. When you think about it, it's about education. Because when you say, let's pray for an increase of vocations to consecrated life, we say that at Mass frequently in our intercessions, right? How many people know what that is?
Right.
So let's educate. Let's encounter. Let's encounter these women and men religious in their work, in their apostolates, and let's entrust them and that need for more vocations to the Lord through our prayer. And so I think what we can do are those three things, and also to help our young people to listen. There's so many voices speaking to our young people. Those involve working with youth, college campus, to teach them what it means to be silent, and to personally invite them to consider the possibility that God may be asking something very special of them.
Do you have a particular saint or saints that you would recommend to those who are considering this to pray for their intercession, or somebody who's a wonderful model of the consecrated life for us?
Our Blessed Mother, you know, who in the midst of being asked to do something she did not fully understand, was able to offer that fiat, that yes, to God's holy word. Let it be done to me according to your word. But I will also recommend that who's your saint? Who's your hero? Who's your patron? And ask that saint to do something specific for you. My patron is Michael, the protector, and
right.
I turn to him all the time when I have a specific need. So I would try to encourage that. And if you don't have a favorite saint, read the lives of the saint and choose one as your own.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
That's great. That's a great recommendation. So we have a couple things that our listeners should be doing. We should be trying to encourage those who we know who may have a vocation to consider it, but most of all, we should take them and show them the work of the consecrated life, visit some religious men and women in their homes and their monasteries on these days that you all are having for open house. And
right.
Also, most importantly, we should thank these religious so that they know how valued and how much of a gift they are.
And it would be nice, too, if to your listeners, if you are mindful of a woman or a man religious and you just have lost mm-hmm. contact with, write them a note. And also, I'm going to put a plug in. The
sure.
USCCB, United States Conference of Catholic Bishops website, all you have to do is go to Clergy, Consecrate Life and Vocations, and you'll see lots of resources there, and also a prayer throughout this year that maybe individuals and families could say together.
Thank you, Bishop Burbage.
Thank
for
you.
For
and,
being
thank
with
you.
Us today.
Thank you. It's great to speak with you, and thanks to your listeners, many of whom I know are praying daily for their bishops and their priests and the religious who serve them, and I hope they know how grateful we are. Thank you so much.
When we return, we'll continue our discussion about the Year of Consecrated Life. This is Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. More in a moment.
Only one newspaper can deliver in-depth news coverage to millions of Catholics around the globe, offer a Catholic perspective to world events, and bring you inspiring stories and articles of faith and courage. Only one newspaper has insightful, award-winning journalism that continues Mother Angelica's dream of providing Catholic news true to the teachings of the Church. The National Catholic Register, the source for commentary and opinion on the most important political, economic, and social issues facing Catholics today. The world needs the truth. Now you can be part of it by donating to the National Catholic Register. Help us continue our mission. You can make a difference with a donation, large or small, to close the funding gap we're faced with. Go to ncregister.com/donate or mail your donation to the National Catholic Register at P.O. Box 100699, Irondale, Alabama 35210. With your help, our voice remains strong. Without it...
Let's return to Register Radio on EWTN.
And welcome back. Along with Jeanette DeMello, I'm Tom Price. Our next guest is Roxanne King. She is a Register correspondent who writes from Denver. She was formerly the editor of the Denver Catholic Register. She'll talk with Jeanette about what dioceses around the country are doing to celebrate men and women religious.
Thank you. It's great to be with you.
Roxanne, just a couple of weeks ago, Pope Francis launched the Year of Consecrated Life, a year that every diocese, hopefully across the world, will be celebrating. He set the tone for that year with a letter. What did he have to say?
What he did in the letter to consecrated men and women is to issue a challenge to them to wake up the world. And what he said was, I am counting on you to wake up the world. And the wake-up call is for all Christians to live the good news of salvation as a joyful, life-transforming event, which consecrated persons profoundly model by leaving everything to follow Christ. And so the Holy Father said that radical evangelical living is not only for religious, but they are a special sign of what that Christian call is to live our lives with joy and hope.
They certainly do radiate joy, the religious. I know, I just think of their beaming smiles and their freedom. Now, the Pope also, I think, expressed some explicit hopes for this year. What does he desire for this year, the aims of the year, so to speak?
He outlined three goals for the year, to look to the past with gratitude, to live the present with passion, and to embrace the future with hope. And so he encourages them in the letter to look back to their beginnings, their founders, who read the signs of the times with the eyes of faith and responded creatively to the needs of the church. He told them a present with passion, that gratefully remembering the past attunes them to listening to what the Holy Spirit is calling their community to now, and to embrace the future with hope, to not be discouraged when they are experiencing challenges such as a decrease in vocations, but to remember, be not afraid, I am with you.
It's so wonderful to take a look at the past, and I think there's so much that we could report on. Hopefully we'll do some of this reporting this year on what religious have contributed to the church and to society in past years. But there's a lot being done currently in dioceses around the country to celebrate this year and to focus on a special way on the religious. You recently did a story for the Register on this very thing, how are dioceses celebrating this year. What did you find?
I found great excitement in many dioceses, the ones that I spoke with. For example, San Antonio, many dioceses, of course, opened the year with a mass and perhaps honored their jubilarians or invited all the religious in the diocese to attend, to be a sign of the many different communities present in a diocese. And so in San Antonio, they had invited them all. They actually have a pretty small cathedral, and so they televised it to connect with a larger audience, to share it with more people. Most dioceses, the religious and the dioceses are collaborating to offer open houses. The Diocese of St. Louis has some 85 different communities, amazing number of communities. And starting in January, that diocese, the religious communities there are all taking turns to invite the public in to visit their convent, their monasteries, their friaries. They're all taking turns so that people can experience the different charisms and learn about the different communities. So that's a real beautiful thing, where the religious are opening their homes. In Denver, religious men and women in formation will be offering their testimonies at colleges. And many dioceses are offering special talks. The Archdiocese of Denver, there will be a talk on two Vatican II documents, Lumen Gentium, and the decree on religious life, to help the faithful understand about consecrated life and about their own call, their own vocational call. There are religious who are engaging in service projects. In St. Louis, the religious will be partnering in an interfaith project to go into different communities. And one community is Ferguson, sure, where religious will be helping to provide material needs there, as well as offer pastoral counseling.
I find that the religious habit can be such a calming presence because they know that those people are there to serve. So that's really a powerful witness in Ferguson, a place where there's so much need right now for,
right,
for healing and attention. This is Jeanette DeMello on Register Radio, and I'm speaking with Roxanne King, who is a writer in Denver. She's written a story for the National Catholic Register on what religious are doing, what dioceses are doing to celebrate religious during this year of consecrated life. And Roxanne, as the former editor of the Denver Catholic Register and someone who's worked with the Catholic press for a very long time, you've covered religious in your work, both as an editor and a writer. Now, we've worked together, you and I, here in Denver, and I remember one story that highlighted a religious community not too far from Denver. It's the Benedictines. Along with those stories were beautiful images, pictures of the life of these men and women religious, of them living their joy, of just doing ordinary work, of prayer, of song, and many people just don't have an image of what the religious do. And this year is about really highlighting and amplifying the work and the life of religious so that we open our hearts to them and hopefully that there are more vocations. So Roxanne, this year, what do you think, this is, you know, just as we come to a close here, what do you think families can do to help foster this in the lives of children and others so that they might see this joy?
It's a beautiful, special time that families have to be welcomed into the homes of consecrated men and women to share their life of prayer, to learn about their different charisms, their different apostolates, and to parents can help their children to see, or to begin to consider what their vocational call might be. It may well be to marriage and family, but it may be to serve as a consecrated man or woman, and to open their eyes to the beauty and the joy of consecrated life, as well as to Sister Esther Mary Nicol told me that St. Paul says we all have a part and a mission in this great body of Christ, and it's important to ponder that and to work in collaboration with one another for the new evangelization. She was saying that she doesn't have a family or a spouse, but that her call is to support those who do, and that as families, we too can pray for the religious and support them in their call by praying for them, by making donations to them, by supporting the work that they do. The poor Claire exactly. Nuns bake cookies.
Exactly.
If you don't have your holiday cookies ordered, you could certainly order them from the Poor Claire Nuns. They're delicious. It supports them. And we're just engaged. We
yeah.
just connect.
Well, Roxanne, thank you so much for being with us today and telling us about your experience and coverage of the men and women religious. Men and women religious have certainly played an important part of my life, and I know this year I have to make a special point to thank those religious who I've worked with and definitely to keep all men and women religious in prayer.
By the way, Roxanne just wrote a great story for the Register all about what dioceses around the country are doing to celebrate consecrated life, so do check that out at ncregister.com. And don't forget, you can listen to our show again by going to ncregister.com. Look for the microphone to listen to or download the show. Thanks again for joining us this time on Register Radio. For our producer, Elena Rodriguez, Jeanette, and all of us at the Register and here at EWTN, I'm Tom Price. See you next week.
For more information about the National Catholic Register and about Register Radio, go to ncregister.com. Podcasts of Register Radio are posted on ncregister.com and on ewtn.com. Join us next week at this time for Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Imagine if you could help inspire millions of Catholics around the globe by providing a life-changing perspective on the events of the world. Imagine if you could bring faithful Catholic journalism to clergy, seminarians, and religious. Imagine if you could be a part of continuing Mother Angelica's dream of providing faithful Catholic news true to the teachings of the Church. You can do all this and more by donating to the National Catholic Register. The Register needs your help to continue our mission and close the funding gap we now face. You can make the difference with a donation, large or small. Go to ncregister.com/donate or mail your donation to the National Catholic Register at P.O. Box 100-699, Irondale, Alabama 35210.